you turn in your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. The first verse that we used over 30 years ago in our deputation visits to churches before going to Spain, and the verse that was, I believe, on our first prayer card was this verse. It's a tremendous verse, tremendous missions verse. And there it says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. The context of this verse is the Apostle Paul giving his defense before King Agrippa and relating his experience on the Damascus Road. He shared with the king the revelation and commission that Jesus had given him. I'd like to begin reading in verse 13, Acts 26, 13, gives us the context. And there, again, the Apostle Paul sharing with King Agrippa, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Verses 16 through 18 record Jesus telling Saul, Paul, the purpose for which he had called him. Verse 16, we don't have to doubt what that was. It's very clear. I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, and the purpose follows, to make thee a minister and a witness. Minister translates a form of a Greek word, that's superestes, is what the word is. And four other times this word is translated minister in the King James Version anyway. I'm not sure about some of your Bibles that you might have this morning. One of these times is in Acts 13:5. You go with me to Acts chapter 13 and verse 5. And here we have the first missionary journey. You recall prophets and teachers there in Antioch, and as they ministered to the Lord, verse 2, and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister. Same word, John to their minister. He was a helper. He was an assistant. Acts 13:5 tells us that. And in the New Testament, we find in many places that a minister is a subordinate who serves under a superior or a personal attendant on a superior, as in Luke chapter 4 and verse 20, where Christ is in the synagogue. He reads the scriptures. He returns the roles to the minister or attendant, who then places them in their proper storage area. Now, Acts chapter 26 and verse 18 tells us that Jesus appeared to Saul for the purpose of making him a minister, a subordinate who would serve him. Jesus uses the word we have been studying in regard to Paul being a minister, and Paul refers to himself as a minister also. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, if you join me there, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 7, Jesus said, I'm making you a minister, and Paul refers to himself as a minister there, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Minister there is a different word. It's the word diakonos, deacon, which focuses in on the work of a servant. So Jesus says, I've appointed you to be a minister. Paul refers to himself as a minister in the sense of a servant who is working, and the emphasis is on the work that he does. Interesting that even Christ himself refers to himself as a minister and serving in this deacon kind of way. Matthew chapter 20, please. Matthew chapter 20. There Christ tells his disciples, don't be like the Gentiles, others who want to be served. Christ says to them, no, you serve. And he uses himself as an example, Matthew chapter 20, 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. From deacon, diakonos, deacon idea. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now all these ministers in Matthew 20, 26 through 28 translate variations of that word diakonos and or deacon and mean to serve. We find a parallel passage in Mark chapter 10, 43 through 45. We're not going to look at that because it's basically the same thing that we've read here in Matthew chapter 20. The point of all this that I want to make is that too many Christians want to be passively ministered to instead of actively ministering. Now, our flesh selfishly wants our needs met first and foremost. But as we obey God and yield ourselves to His Spirit, the desire comes to serve others. Never once did Jesus put His needs before those of others. And what an example for us to follow. And all this in the light of missions at home and missions around the world, thinking about others and their needs before ourselves. We have the chorus that we sing, others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that they might live like thee or live for thee. I'm not exactly sure how it ends. But there we have the idea. Lord, others, are you living for yourself or for others? God, help us to live for others, and as we live for others, God will meet each one of our spiritual needs. Acts 26:18, Jesus appeared to Paul for the purpose of making him a minister and witness. A minister and witness of two groups of revelation that we can call these things and those things. 26:16 Acts, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness of both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Two groups, we can say, of revelation. These things and those things. These things being what Paul is now relating to King Agrippa of how Jesus appeared unto him on the Damascus Road and revealed to him what he's telling us now. And those things being that which Jesus revealed to him personally and later in Arabia, like Galatians 1:17 tells us. You recall how Paul in his letter to folks there in that region tells them that the gospel that I received wasn't from men, but I received it directly from God. Galatians 1:17. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. He says, verse 16 or 15, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia. And then he says, then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. We think that Paul, for 3 years, was being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and given these revelations. Thought comes to my mind, what about Paul when he talks about the revelation that he had of being there in the third heaven? Where did he get that revelation? Not sure. Could have been part of what he experienced when he was stoned at Lystra. It's hard to tell, but Paul had many revelations given to him, these things and those things. And an important part of the purpose for which Jesus had appeared to Paul was to send him to the Gentiles, verse 17. Again, Acts 26 and verse 17. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Really, Paul was called to be a foreign missionary right from the moment of his conversion because he was a Jew. He lived in Judea, Jerusalem, but he's being called of God to go to the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So the Apostle Paul, we know the Apostle to the Gentiles, and it seems that formed part of his call right from the beginning to be a minister to outside of Jerusalem, outside of Judea, going to the Gentiles. Verse 18, the purpose, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What a tremendous verse. What a tremendous verse is verse 18. And that's Jesus speaking. Verse 18 is a clear expression of God's concern for the souls of men and his desire that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, as 1 Timothy 2:4 tells us. And then 2 Peter 3:9, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants to open the spiritual eyes and understanding of all. We all enter in this world blind in the spiritual sense. We all need our eyes opened spiritually. God gives us spiritual vision. God opens our eyes spiritually when we accept His Son as our personal Savior from the condemnation that our sin brings on us. And the means that God uses to open our eyes spiritually are His Word, His Spirit, and His servants. And there we see the importance of His servants, the importance of each one of us here this morning. If you have received Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of that servants that God needs to share His Word and to be able to see people's eyes open spiritually to the gospel. God appeared to Saul for the purpose of making him a witness and minister of the things that he had seen and would see, and this to open the spiritual eyes mainly of the Gentiles, although he witnessed to the Jews as well. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 10, Paul understood the importance of the Word, the work of the Spirit, but also the witness of the minister. Romans chapter 10, familiar verses to many of us, but tremendous as we center in on missions today and missions at home, missions around the world. Paul understood the importance of the word, the work of the Spirit, but also the witness of the minister. Romans chapter 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's for anyone here this morning who has never received Christ as your personal Savior. God's word says, you call upon his name and he'll save you. Then it goes on, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. How shall they hear without a preacher? Not talking about having to be formally ordained as a preacher. A preacher can be any one of us here as we share God's word with the lost. Paul understood the importance of the minister. God's word has to be a part of the salvation message, of course. The work of his Spirit, without that, no one is saved. But the minister has to be there to share the gospel of the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, one of the reasons for which God appeared unto us, unto you, saved us, saved you, is that we might be a witness and minister of the things he has revealed to us spiritually. We've all received revelation. Paul's was a little unusual in the sense that it was a miraculous thing that happened to him, but it was a miracle when God revealed himself to us and saved us. And we too can have a part in opening the eyes of spiritually blind people. And you know what? That ought to excite us. That ought to excite us that we have that opportunity to be part of opening blind eyes. God needs us to be his witnesses here at home or on the foreign mission field. Talking about excitement, this past week I watched on TV a man who was excited about helping others. That's great, isn't it? Be excited about helping others, not just thinking about ourselves, as we mentioned earlier about ministering to others and their needs and not just thinking about ourselves. This man in particular, a medical doctor who had cancer some 13 years ago. And since his cancer, which, you know, you have cancer, it scares you. You start looking at your life and things that you can change. And so he made a complete change in diet. And now at 70, he looks pretty good, I'll tell you. Physically fit and healthy. And this doctor is passionate about helping others. He wants them to be healthy. He wants them to be pain-free. And he travels the country sharing what he's learned and what has worked for him. Now, that's commendable, very commendable. But you know, as I was listening to him, and I don't know what else he does, he may be a saved man, I'm not completely sure. But if in addition to that, he's sharing the gospel, well, that's great. But you know what? I couldn't help but think that, and God's Spirit, I'm sure, reminding me that the most important thing is not people's physical health, but their spiritual health. I'm not against people being healthy. I want you to be healthy. But I want more that you be healthy in the spiritual sense. I believe we should be good stewards of the bodies that God has given to us, and that self-control extends to every area of our lives, including eating. Eating too much. Probably eating not the right way we should. But let's never forget that our number one concern regarding others must be the salvation of their souls. You know, I thought it'd be a wonderful thing to be a medical missionary, because you can do two great things. You can help people physically, but more important than that, then you can go on and help them spiritually. And that's the most important thing. Our efforts, passion, excitement must be above all else directed to the salvation of the souls of men. I don't know if anyone here is a medical doctor. I'm thankful for medical doctors. We need them. But we all know that our time here on earth is limited. Doesn't matter how healthy you might be. We know the day is coming when we'll pass on to eternity. And then the only thing that matters is if we knew the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And He saved us by His grace, by His shed blood on Calvary. And now we will live with Him for eternity in heaven. First and foremost are the souls. As we look at the world, tremendous need. Think of people lost in spiritual darkness and blindness. And I see in Acts chapter 26, 18, a verse of tremendous contrast. Acts 26, 18, of direct opposites. Although closed eyes aren't specifically mentioned, although implied, understood, if there's a need for eyes to be open, it's because eyes are closed, right? And so in this verse, we have the opposites of closed eyes, open eyes, darkness and light, Satan and God, being controlled by Satan or being controlled by God, not forgiven and being forgiven, no inheritance among the saints and inheritance among the saints. Tremendous, tremendous opposites. May God burden us. May He touch our hearts afresh and anew from this verse as we see a vast multitude of humanity in spiritual darkness, held and controlled by Satan, spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, under God's condemnation and facing eternal damnation. May God burden our hearts afresh and anew, and not just for the people there in Spain, but the people right here at home, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers. I know it's hard. I know they may not want to hear, but God help us to maintain a heart for their souls, for salvation. May we be constantly praying for their salvation. 1 John 5:19, if you go there with me, please. 1 John 5:19, the Apostle Paul wrote the following. He says there, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." The whole world. The whole world. And that wickedness is connected to the spiritual darkness and the power that Satan exercises over those who are lost. The whole world lies in darkness. Less than one half of 1% of Spaniards would claim to be evangelicals. Less than one half of 1%, and we're talking about a population of 50 million. Can you imagine how few believers there are in Spain? Things are dark here in the States, but things are even darker in other places. Last night, family member invited us to go eat at Cracker Barrel. And as we were checking out, we purchased a few DVDs to take back with us. We like to just a time of relax and downtime. We like to see funny oldies, you know, like from the 50s and the 60s. So just made the comment, oh, yeah, we're going to be taking these back to Spain with us. And so there were three or four ladies checking out, and one on the far end begins asking questions and find out that she's a Christian. How nice. You could probably go to all the checker outers that there are in Spain and you never meet up with a Christian. Praise God for what we still have here in America, and God burden our hearts for the lost around the world. Almost all of Spain lies in wickedness and spiritual darkness. And looking at the rest of the world, the situation is pretty dark and bleak as well. Christians, we have a work to do. We need to pray for the salvation of souls, don't we? Pray for the salvation of souls. God's Word tells us to send to pray to God that he might send forth laborers into his harvest field. I've put that on our church prayer list, especially the things that God's word tells us to pray specifically for. And one of those things is, God's word says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Do we pray regularly that God would indeed send people to these needy places of the world? And then as we pray, Lord, I'm here if you're willing to send me. I know God's not going to send everybody. God needs people here at home to help us be able to go abroad and share the gospel with others, but that we might be willing also to have our part, if not on the foreign field, then here at home. We need to pray for God to send forth laborers. We need to witness where we are and be willing to go to the foreign field should God call us. I believe God wants to use each one of us. I don't think this is just for the Apostle Paul. Yes, I know that in the context, Paul is relating what God, what Jesus told him in that salvation experience that he had. But I also know true that God wants us to be a part of opening blind eyes. God wants each believer to be a part of turning people from darkness, spiritual darkness, to the light of the glory of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God wants each one of us to have a part of helping people turn from being controlled by Satan and being controlled by God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. What a blessing, as I mentioned, to meet up with saved people like this lady at the checkout counter. What a blessing. What wonderful fellowship it is to meet up with a fellow believer, is it not? But you know, in order to get to that point, we have to be witnessing to others so that they receive Christ as their Savior, and then we can have that privilege of enjoying that fellowship. But it all depends on our being a part of opening blind eyes, turning people from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. What a joy. What excitement to be a part of pointing people to Jesus Christ and God who forgives their sin when they believe on his Son for salvation. 2 Corinthians 4:6, and I end with this verse, says, God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has shined, it says he has shined in our hearts. If we're here this morning saved, it's because God has, I don't even know how to say it in English, shone his light in our hearts and has revealed himself to us. And may we be ministers and witnesses of God's light. Again, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. Aren't you glad that you are no longer in darkness? Aren't you glad that you're no longer under the power of Satan? What a blessing. But that's not something to keep to ourselves. That's something to share with others, that they may receive forgiveness of sins just like we have. And we enjoy that knowledge that we are forgiven, and that we are right with God, and that he accepts us, and that heaven will be our home. May we also desire to see that in others. May they have the same inheritance that we've received through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you have never received Christ as your personal Savior, I can tell you from God's word, you're walking in spiritual blindness. You are living in spiritual darkness, and you may not even know it, but that's what God says you're doing. Satan has power over you in the way that he manipulates you and the way you think, but God wants to give you deliverance from all of that. And this morning, I want to tell you that if you will put your faith and trust in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, Christ died on the cross, paying the debt for your sin, And if you will by faith believe that he died for you, he was buried, he rose again the third day, that's the gospel. If you will receive him personally as your Savior, if you will submit yourself to him completely, give him your heart, he will save you and you will be transformed from this darkness, this blindness, to a state of spiritual blessing, understanding, freedom, forgiveness, a wonderful, wonderful life in Christ. And I encourage you this morning, if you're here today without Christ, that you would receive him as your personal Savior. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have been privileged to have had our spiritual eyes opened. We who were also in the past dead in trespasses and sins and blind spiritually and under the power and influence of Satan and your enemies and our destiny being eternal damnation, condemnation, separation from you. We thank you, Father, that someone was a witness to us. Someone ministered your word to us. And by your grace and through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, we received Christ as our Savior. And today we have our spiritual sight. We have light. We have hope. We have an inheritance. Father, burden us for people here at home, but also the many millions, billions around the world who are living in darkness. Father, may we pray, may we give so that others might go. And Father, I pray for, again, this day, that for the salvation of souls around the world, use your ministers around the world to share your gospel. And we pray that you would do a work and that many souls might be saved. Pray that you might use Valley View Bible Church, the dear folk here, to be able to reach out into this community and have the privilege of seeing people saved and baptized and added to the fellowship here, to your church, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.